हरिः ओम् सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो श्री ब्रह्म संहिता देन टेक्स्ट 7 through 9 शक्ति तत्व कृष्णस एनर्जीज। The previous verses dealt with the spiritual world, which makes up three quarters of the Lord's opulence. Now, the Brahma Samhita will discuss the remaining fourth, the material universes. Creating the universe is not the duty of Swayam Bhagavan, but the responsibility of Purusha Avatar expansions. This process requires the interaction of the masculine and feminine principles. The following verses reveal how all such dealings, the activation of the Mahatattva, the procreative desires of the living entities, are shadows of the eternal loving exchanges between the original divine couple. Text 7, the masculine and feminine principle. The Lord as enjoyer is never separated from his internal energy. As the Purusha, he enjoys with his internal energy. And when desiring to create the universes, he releases his energy of time to carry out the creation. Brahma Samhita 5.7. Because here is that time that has the aspect that there's creation, maintenance, and destruction. Spiritual world is only maintenance, right? So you don't have the time factor there. Because time then makes the past, present, future. You have spiritual time where there's that that there's the feeling of the movement of time and action, but it's not, it's people, no one's controlled by time. They're controlled by their love for Krishna. And then time assists in those pastimes, right? Well, in the material world, then time controls the living entities, right? So there's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end. So everything is moving and adjusting. But will the Lord not become contaminated like the jiva by enjoying with his energy? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asserts that the relationship of the Purusha avatar with the inert material energy is not direct, but indirect. Quote, even in casting his glance, he has no contact with the deluding energy because the spiritual potency, chit, rama, then carries the function of his glance as his unpolluted, ever-submissive potency. The deluding potency as the maidservant of the spiritual chit potency, Rama, serves the manifested plenary portion of Godhead, consorted with Rama, the time energy representing the force of activity and instrumentality of Rama. Hence, there is found the process of masculinity, or the creative force. Brahma Samhita Purport 5.7. So, we see here is Krishna, he is glancing at his at the he is interacting with Rama Devi, his consort, right, Mahapurusha. And then she then is carrying that potency to the external energy. And so in this way it's functioning. And then it has the aspect of time. Right, so representing the force of activity and instrumentality of Rama, right, meaning that's his internal potency. Force of activity, right, so then the chit aspect then has the, you know, because that means the chit shakti. So the chit aspect then has that feature that there's the potency by which things can be accomplished, things can happen, right? Transformation can take place. And instrumentality means that then, you know, that there are laws and everything that is there that make things happen. And so then time acts as the instrument for seeing that it's going on. That's why it was said before. Then in the Bhagavatam, then time is the indirect cause, right? It's only an instrument. It's not something, it's not directly acting. So in other words, the laws, the natural services or methods by which Krishna performs his pastimes, those being carried out by his internal potency, then when it comes to the material world, then it takes on this aspect of time, right? Because then there's the force of transformation is there, right? Like that. So he's saying that's the process of the masculinity of the creative force, is that Krishna glances as internal potency, then she carries that. In other words, only Kala Purusha, the personified time factor, reunites with the inert material energy. The Lord is not controlled by Maya. He is served by her. Only the jivas under the influence of the material world are deluded by Maya. Yes. So only the jivas are deluded by Maya. So for the Lord, this is just his energies working, right? You may have the inferior energy of the Maya Shakti, but it's still one of his energies. It's still Brahman. And then that is controlled by his internal potency, Rama Devi. And then so he's only working within the jivas, then are Krishna's energy, as one of the Shaktis. And so then these three Shaktis there are acting. And so for Krishna, this is all his energy. It's acting according to the way the energies are working. So there's no, technically you can say is the, that's why it's referred to as the Mahatattva, because Mahatattva is the place where the living entities can take on this mood that I am the controller and enjoyer. Right? In the spiritual world, they don't take that mood. They only take the mood that I am assisting, in these activities, in these pastimes. One may also ask, how can the creation of the material universe take place without the influence of the Lord? Jiva Goswami answers, it takes place simply by the Lord's desire to create. So he's all powerful, he's omnipotent. So when he desires to create, it happens, right? He's Satya Sankalpa. So anything that he desires happens. And why does that happen? Because his energies carry it out. The energies are non-different from him, so it all happens. It takes place simply by, and thus the Lord discharges time in order to create the universe. Due to the Lord manifesting this desire and the subsequent discharge of time, the universe is created, but he remains enjoying with Rama. Dig Darshani Tika 5:7. Thus, the material world makes its appearance only by the influence of the Lord's time energy. Moreover, the external potency is not permanently manifest because she enters into the Purusha avatar at the time of the cosmic annihilation. Here, just one second. I'll try something. Okay. I'm trying to keep the any calls coming in silent. Yeah, the external potency is not permanently manifest because she enters into the Purusha avatar at the time of the cosmic annihilation. Right? Exactly how Bhagavan indirectly comes in contact with Maya is described in the next verse. So when all the living entities, everything goes back into him, so it's just him and Rama Devi. Then when he expands the external potency, then through Rama Devi, then the time potency that enters with the jivas and the false ego into the material energy. We'll see it as it comes up here. Text 8, the seed of creation. Ramah, under the control of the Lord, is self-manifesting and dear to the Lord. The Lord's eternal form, called Shambhu, whose body is consciousness, is represented figuratively by the lingam, and the inferior energy, a portion of Ramah, is represented by the yoni. Shambhu develops the desire to see Maya for creating the universes, and Mahatattva, the transformation of Prakriti after being injected with the jivas, then appears as the seed of creation. The secondary process of association with Maya is described in this verse, right? So first you see the aspect of time factor, because that means then things, there can be movement, things can happen, right? Sankarsana, possessed of creative desire, is the subjective portion of Krishna, taking the initiative to bring about the birth of the mundane world, right? So Sankarsana, possessed of creative desire, right? Because you have the Krishna has the desire to create, right? Because he said, you know, he is one, let us become many by expanding his energies. So then that's the Icha aspect. Then Kriya is Sankarsana. He takes care of the manifestation of whatever it is that Krishna wants to create, you know, or wants to happen. And so that aspect in the position of chit, oh boy, that's taking care of the points of action. This is annoying. Taking the aspect of, because you have satchit ananda, so the ananda, that's where the icha, that's the position of the icha, that Krishna's desire, his pleasure. Then Balaram, in that position of taking the aspect of the chit, or the that's, you know, the knowledge potency, that's the qualifications, qualities, actions, everything like that. Then that's going to give the creation of, or bringing about the aspect of the material world. So he's the subjective portion, right? So that means you have the subject and the object. So subjective meaning, you know, in this case, what I'm talking about here, then the masculine aspect. Well, then the objective will be the energy itself, where that direction is taking. So in Sankarsan, because Mahavishnu has the mood of I am the control, creator, maintainer, and destroyer, right? In Vaikuntha, then Lord Vishnu's mood is I am God, right? So that will be in that aspect. So within that, there is action. And then we see the final stage. Then in Goloka, then Krishna has the mood, I am the son of Mother Jashoda, Nanda, or I'm the son of Devaki, like that. And so he acts within that. If he's God, then he acts as godly. If he's the creator, maintainer, destroyer, then he expands the material creation. So in that, then we have the aspect of creation. Those three features of the Lord means this, because it says, He is the, you know, the, how you say, Lord's eternal form called Shambhu, whose body is consciousness, right? So the Lord is the supreme consciousness, but in as Mahavishnu, then he has these three features. So Hiranyagarbha will be the mood of creation, right? Expanding the world. The mood of maintaining will be Vishnu, and the mood of destruction is Sadashiva or Shambhu, right? So then that aspect of the Lord, because he's the Lord of false ego, right? And it has the aspect of because the ego is controlled by Sankarsana, right? The intelligence not Purushottam. Prajumna, and then the mind by Aniruddha. So then Sankarsana here then expands that aspect of the consciousness in which he is the destroyer of the worlds. And because you're dealing with ignorance, so then you have that false ego, the jivas and time. That's what's entering into the external energy, and that's what makes everything work. Lying in the causal water as the primal Purusha avatar, he casts his glance towards Maya, the limited potency. Such glance is the efficient cause of the mundane creation. Shambhu, the symbol of masculine mundane procreation, is the dim halo of this reflected effulgence. It is the symbol which is applied to the organ of generation of Maya, the shadow of Rama, or the divine potency, Brahma Samhita Purport 5.8. Right, so we see is that Sangarsana then expands as Shambhu, right? And then who is the halo of the reflected effulgence, right? Because you're also going to have the two aspects of Sadashiva and Shambhu. So Sadashiva will be what reflects back, right? And so the halo of this is Shambhu, who enters into the external energy. And Rama is his internal potency. So she's Maya is the shadow of her. So through Rama, it is carried in everything to there, and then it takes place there. So Krishna, he has the glance, but the actual interaction is done by Shambhu. Right? In other words, the Shambhu Linga, generative capacity, is the semblance of reflected light of Sankarsana's glance. It is that which unites with the shadow of Rama Devi. So you're taking a halo of reflected in effulgence, and you're taking the shadow of the internal potency. Okay, this is what the material world is made from. Right? A shadow and a halo of the glance. Right? It's the shadow of Rama and the halo of the glance of the Lord. And so that's why we see is that here, even though it has the basic, you could say, features and activities and everything that's there in the spiritual world, it doesn't have the completeness that can give satisfaction to the living entities, right? Because the living entities being consciousness, the material energy is not conscious, right? And so because of that, then we see is it appears that it's something real, but it's not actually. You know, that's the point. That's why the Bhagavatam is mentioning it appears to be real. Means it exists, but what it's talking about appears to be real because we think it's, you know, all the things that are going on as if we were in the spiritual world. Because the living entities, the materialistic living entity, their desire is to enjoy Krishna's energy like Krishna, but separate from Krishna. And so, since the energy, the internal potency being conscious, is not going to be very impressed with the jiva's desire to enjoy, therefore then the shadow form is given and you can play with that. You know, it's like a mirror, you see what's reflected, but then it has the you know, it'd be like you have your reflection and you have your shadow. So if the reflection and the shadow then are combined, that's your material world. So it's like the spiritual world at the same time as it doesn't have the, it doesn't last, it doesn't have the consciousness, it doesn't have the effect to actually create any happiness for the living entity. In light of this, some scriptures depict Shiva and Shakti Durga as the cause of the world, right? So they're going to say they created, but the point is they're only the shadow and the halo of Krishna, you know, shadow of the internal potency and the halo of Krishna's glance, right? So that's then what you're dealing with. So you can say is they're doing it, but you can't say that they're the ones doing it. It'd be like, let's say we have a construction company and they're building something. So there is the head of the company, and you have, all your different engineers and that, and you have your different individuals who do the practical work. So some could say, yes, it's the guy on the ground, he's practically doing it, and they don't see above that. Because some could say, no, it's the engineers and they're doing all the different things. But it's actually the guy who owns the company. If he's not running it, it's not happening. There's no, nothing goes on. So scriptures that lean towards those tending towards ignorance then present the creation up to Shiva and don't go beyond that. If they mention it, but it's only, you have so many verses, but just one or two may deal with that. But people don't catch that. They only catch what's the majority of things. Or if they're a mode of passion, then it will be described how Brahman, his position, how he's doing everything. But in actuality, in the Satvik Puranas, then it explains how it's Vishnu, who's the original cause or the foundational cause, right? Jiva Goswami explains why such passages are found. They are described as such in a figurative way, in which they are the particular limbs of the Purusha, similar to the Lord being described as the figurative universal form. This verse describes Vishnu in this way. Vishnu Purana says, Yasya yuta yutam shamshe vishva shaktir iyam stita. The power involved in creating the universe is situated as 100 millionth portion of a portion of the Lord. Right, 100 millionth portion, and then of a portion. So you could say, so that's why we see in Lakshmiji, then she makes the statement that this whole universe is, in one place she says a millionth, but here is saying 100 millionth, but in some place she says a billionth because it's a portion of a portion. So the idea is that once you get up into these big numbers, that it doesn't, it just means there's not a whole lot happening here. If you're taking 100 millionth portion of a portion, right? So you could get into, so that 100 million, and then you have that as a portion, and then you have that going, you're getting into very little energy. That's why we're saying if you simply have a reflection, like of a mirror and a shadow, and put those together, you don't have a whole lot happening in the way of substance, right? The mirror aspect has certain aspects to it. The shadow has certain aspects to it. But so that's why it appears to look like the spiritual world, but in actuality, it doesn't have any of the wonderfulnesses there, like the tree reflected in the water. You see the trunk, the branches, the leaves, the flowers, the fruits, but you can't get any of the benefit of those from that reflection in the water, though you think it's there. It's like, you see some kids, the small kids, they go out and they're playing games, and then they have a lunch, so they're sitting there and they've collected some twigs and some leaves and maybe a few, this and that, and rocks, and they put them together on a leaf on a plate, and that's lunch. And they're sitting there, just with their hand picking out, yeah, very nice, like this. They're going through the, they're just playing as if they're eating, though they're not eating. Right? And that's the little older ones. The real little ones actually pick up the dirt and try to eat it. Right? So that's the thing, is that there, it's just play. But the living entity, because that's all there is and that's all they know, so therefore then they take it as real, right? For the kids, they're playing and going this and that, and there's a fight there, and somebody comes back, and the parent asks what's wrong, and, oh, but he's always the king, I wanted to be the king, why can't I be the king, I'm always like this and that. And it's just a game, it's a play. But the thing is they're really absorbed in it, and they base that their happiness will be there because of being able to play these different roles. Someone's the king, someone's the minister, someone's the knight, like this and that. And someone's the criminal, someone's the police. You have this whole thing going on. And so then but in actuality, there's no reality there. It's all happening in their mind. So in the same way in the material world, it's happening in the mind that we think if I get this, it will make me happy, but in reality, it doesn't. Right? That's why the people are not satisfied. Thus, according to the statement of the Vishnu Purana, the portion for producing the material world is called Shambhu, another name of Vishnu. He is an amsha or linga, a representative of the soul of the universe, the Purusha. Right? He is representative, like the reflection in the mirror or the halo is the representative. Like Brahman is the representative of Krishna because it is coming from his good qualities. So in the same way, Shambhu is then the reflection or that what was that? The halo of this reflected effulgence. Right. Okay. A representative of the soul of the universe, the Purusha, who has become indistinct, being covered by his bodily effulgence, right? Because the Lord, he's expanding that effulgence. And so, oh, the living entities are dealing with this effulgence. And they're unable to see the Lord. That's the whole point. We can see the effulgence. That's why you see is that they talk about Brahman and these kind of aspects, because that aspect of the effulgence and, you know, that carries the qualities, that carries everything that's there for the living entities to try to work with. So the Lord has all these qualities, right? So then that effulgence will be a feature of the you could say the effulgence is actually the effulgence of the qualities. And so then those will come into the material world. But we see because of Shambhu, there's the aspect of avidya or ignorance. So the living entities in the material world, even if you're, let's say, situated in goodness or great saint, they're still in ignorance because they don't know their relationship with the Lord. They don't actually know their position. They may have come to the point of understanding, I am Atma, I am Brahman. But unless they understand their relationship with the Lord, then they can't understand this. That's why many times these impersonalists and that worship Shiva, because that's the natural position. He is that reflection of that, or the effulgence of that, those qualities, right? Does that make sense? So we see where that connection comes in for Shiva. So Shiva is a representative of the soul of the universe. And who in turn is an amsha of Govinda. So the Purusha avatar is just a portion of Govinda. So Govinda is the original person. By his desire, then these everything is expanding. And so in this way it happens. When he has the desire, it happens. So Govinda is the one who's doing this, but he does this through the Purusha avatar, and he does it only by the feature, you know, of his glance. And the halo of that glance, right? It should be understood that this form is different from the Shiva described in verse 45. Shriram yatha dadhi vikara visesha jogat sanjayate nahitata pritagasti. The way of making his appearance is completely different. Digdarshani Tika 5:8. So as we mentioned here is that you have here, he's being called Shambhu because he's original. But then at some point, it'll mention about what the glance that enters, right? Means just the halo. That is called Shambhu. The part that reflects back, that is the reflected effulgence that doesn't enter or doesn't actually interact with Maya. That's Sadashiva. Right? So that's the portion. That's also why it's non-different. And that's why you see is Advaita Acharya will be called Mahavishnu because he's that feature, but at the same time he's also called Sadashiva because he's the Sadashiva portion of the Lord's identity. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also gives the following purport. Oh, okay. Raghunath, yes.
And that we can understand that this is the feature of Advaita Acharya Prabhu in Chaitanya Leela,
Yes,
eh?
that,
Sadashiva.
yeah, because that's why it's the same person, why he's sometimes called Sadashiva and sometimes called Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu has those three modes: creator, maintainer, and destroyer. So in the so the Sadashiva is the aspect of the destroyer, you know, or the lord of the of ignorance, right? And then maintenance will be Prajumna, like that, you know. I mean, excuse me, would be mainness would be the Aniruddha, and then you have the aspect of the creative elements would be Prajumna. And then the Lord performing the pastimes, he does that as Vasudeva. So you have all these subtle features that they're all the same, but at the same time unique elements. That's the specialness of the Achintabheda Tattva, is that you can understand this. Because I remember when we were having one of the Madhwa, you know, one of the most prominent Madhwa scholars. He was also very expert in music. And so we wanted him to chant this Brahma Samhita, like in a classical style, you know, music style. You know, they call it gamak, where they're using the raga, but it's not being used, you know, with the beat and all those things like that. It's more like chanting, but it's also singing. And so we got him to record it, and so he's going through the verses and reading the verses, you know, and singing them. Because he Sanskrit, and he can see the meter, he can see, I mean, all the different things, and he's very, very expert. After recording and all that, he mentioned to me, to myself and the devotees, that I think there's something, you know, in the something. He felt that there was something not right in the Sanskrit grammar or words, that there was that, you know, there it wasn't that the text wasn't proper. You know, there was something wrong with it. Because they're dealing with the, you know, philosophy of Dwait. So this simultaneous oneness and difference, they don't know about. So these kind of subtle points, they just don't catch. Right? So that will be the aspect. So we see here is like the Brahma Samhita, because it's dealing with these directly, the Chintaveda Veda Tattva. Lord Chaitanya then is revealing, you know, this chapter, you know, the most, you know, such an important chapter, where it gives the essence of all features of the, you know, Vedic knowledge, and that in very essential points. But it's from this angle of Achintya Veda, Veda Tattva. So you're going to have that aspect where there's that non-difference, but there's still a difference, you know. There's a difference, but they're still non-different. You know, it's like Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha, they all have the same potency. But the point is for pastimes, they're manifesting or putting emphasis on particular qualities, though they have all the qualities. Does that make sense? You know, it'd be just like, let's say, you go into the kitchen to cook and you expand yourself into to many people. You can do everything. But one of you washes pots, one of you cuts vegetables, one of you is grinding things, one of you is, you know, frying, you know, stuff like that. The other one's boiling the rice and dal, like this, you know. So like that, it all gets done. But at the same time, as then you're controlling the whole thing. So you're getting yourself to do different things, just like, you know what I'm saying? So they're you, but at the same time as they're different, because they're only manifesting a certain aspect. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj. Yes.
I'm not sure if my one's slowing down or something.
No. I understand, Maharaj. Maybe it's some
Okay.
signal.
Yeah. I mean, this will keep coming up again and again. So it's one of those, we're only.
Looks like Marge is frozen. There's roadworks going on outside the apartment, so it might be that there's some problem with the electricity and Wi-Fi because of that.
Okay,
You're back.
things are back. So I disappeared, no one else disappeared.
No, yeah, just you.
So that means there may be something with the internet.
Are you on
What was
Wi-Fi?
it?
No, you're not on Wi-Fi. You're on the
Yeah, no,
mobile.
we're on the Wi-Fi. It shows full that it's working, but sometimes the router may be working, but the actual company's not. So see, if it does it again, I'll switch to the provider company. Oh, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also gives the following purport. There's an extremely confidential consideration here. The desire of the Purusha engages in the act of creation. After accepting the aspects of the instrumental cause and the ingredient cause, right? So the instrumental will be the time, right? And the ingredient cause will be the shadow of Rama Devi. Here, Maya, the female receptive potency, acts as, oh, she's as the instrumental cause. While Shambhu, the male generative capacity, acts as the ingredient cause. Okay. Upadana. The Purusha, who acts according to his own sweet will, is Mahavishnu. The ingredient principle, Pradhan, is the ingredient cause, Upadana. The receptive principle, Prakriti, is Maya. Okay. The creator of the material universe and the cause of the union of the other two principles is Sri Krishna's partial expansion, the Purusha, or the principle of desire. These three, Pradhan, Prakriti, and Purusha, constitute the agents of creation. So then you're getting ingredient is Upadana. And at the same time, this pradhan is the ingredient cause, the ingredient principle. Oh, okay. There's principle and ingredient cause. Okay. So he's divided it into the what's the principle and what's the causal element of it here. So acts as the ingredient cause, upadana. But the ingredient principle is pradhan. Right, and the ingredient cause is upadana. Right, so the causes means we have Shambhu, but the principle is pradhan. Right, does that make sense? The receptive principle, Prakriti, is Maya. So you're getting into what's the masculine, feminine, and what is the ingredient cause, and what's the ingredient principle. So, from what you can see is the cause of it will be what's making the ingredients, function and everything. But the other is the ingredient principle is how they work and everything like that. Does that make sense? Like, let's say you are cooking something. So you're going to be the cause of it, but the cause of it's still working according to the nature of what you're cooking. Does that make sense? Grains will work in one way, vegetables in their own way, fruits in another way. Does that make sense? So if you're frying things, they'll work in one way. If you're baking things in another way, you're boiling things in another. It's all based on the same basic principles. But the point is you have to work with something according to what it is. Right? It's just like you want to boil the vegetable. If it's potatoes, you just cut it up, put it in the water, and boil it. But let's say a squash, if I cut it up and put it in the water and boil it, it'll just disappear. I'll end up with soup. You know what I'm saying? So you have to work according to the the principles that are there, but there's the ingredient. So the ingredient is there, it has this principle. So you're basically, these are the subtler aspects of the masculine feminine principle that's there. So pradhan, prakriti, and purusha. The process of appearance of Shambhu is recorded in the 10th and 15th shlokas. Text 9, the offspring of Shiva and Shakti. Thus, the living entities, the bodies, make their appearance by the portion of Vishnu impregnating Prakriti and are known as her offspring. Brahma Samhita 5.9. All the living entities in the mundane world are of the nature of the embodiment of the mundane masculine, linga, and the feminine generative organs, yoni. Bhaktisiddhanta says to Swati Thakur, perhaps out of sensitivity to his Victorian English readership, explains the use of these terms. The feature that is of special significance is that although such expressions as the generative organs of male and female are indecorous, yet in scientific literature, these words expressing the above-mentioned principles are exceedingly wholesome and productive of abiding value. The indecorum is merely an entity pertaining to the external custom of society. But science, and specifically the highest science, cannot destroy the true identity by deference to social custom. Wherefore, in order to demonstrate the seed of mundane sex desire, the basic principle of this phenomenal world, the use of those identical words is indispensable. Brahma Samhita Purport 5.9. Right, so he's pointing out is that in the material platform, that according to society, things change and adjust, and we, appreciate certain aspects, we don't appreciate others in that. But when you're dealing with science and you're dealing with the highest science or the transcendence, right, then we cannot give up the use of these terms and principles just because society doesn't like them, right? It means you can explain them very nicely, like you can see here is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying very nicely here. Oh, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But it's not the principles are going to be left because, oh, people won't accept that. It doesn't matter. This is, we're talking science, we're talking transcendence here. You know, tattva, it doesn't matter because that's the way it is. You don't like, just like, what is it? Someone doesn't like to work, but the point is they're there for a job, then they have to learn to work with these things, you know, like that. Lastly, Jiva Goswami anticipates potential doubts. The scriptures dedicated to Shiva describe this operation as independent of Vishnu out of ignorance of the full details. The present, because they can't understand the simultaneous oneness and difference, right? The present verse continues the previous description with the understanding that only Vishnu performs this task. Oh, okay. Where's this footnote 10? Oh, it's up there. Okay. Well, that was about Shiva. The way of making his appearance is completely different. 10. No, 10. This form of Shiva described later was not Vishnu Tattva. He is known as follows: Shiva, Shakti Yukta, Shasvat, Trilingo, Guna, Samvritaha. The Shiva who is united with the illusory energy potency remains covered by three types of false ego, namely goodness, passion, ignorance. Right? Means Tamasa, Taijasa, and I think Vaikarika or something like that. Three forms of false ego. When we're dealing with the passion aspects, the aspects of goodness, and the aspects of ignorance, but they're still all ignorance. That's how you can get ignorance within ignorance, or ignorance within goodness, and that there's that these three features are there, and these three features are functioning. They're part of one main function, but they three aspects of one thing. It's like anything you can take and divide it into the beginning, the middle, and the end. Right? So always you have these things going on simultaneously. So it's, yeah. Okay. I think that'll come up when we get there. Text 10 through 17. So he's pointing out, Jiva Goswami is that Vishnu's performing this task. He may be doing it through his instruments, but that still doesn't mean he's not doing it. It's just like you're cooking, you're not sticking your hand right in there on the pot or holding the vegetables in your hand and putting it over the fire like that. You're using the pans, you're using the spoons, you're using the lids, you're using all these different things, but you're the one cooking. The pot's not cooking, the spoon's not cooking. They're instrumental in it. They may be the ones that get things done and appears that manifest because of them, but it's only because of the cook that it's all happening. Otherwise, the potatoes will sit in the corner and they'll never cook themselves. It's not that you have a sack of potatoes and when you go upstairs to sleep, and in the middle of the night you hear noise downstairs, and you go downstairs and there's 10 potato preparations, being prepared and all that by the potatoes. It's like that, they have a national determination of the potatoes, by the potatoes, for the potatoes, that kind of thing. And, okay. Text 10 through 17. Vishnu Tattva, Shiva Tattva, and the Guna Avatars. Text 10. Shambhu and the Lord are non-different. This powerful Purusha, who assumes an indistinct form, is actually the Supreme Lord. Having appeared with an indistinct form, Shambhu, Mahavishnu then appeared with a distinct form as the master of all living entities in the universe. Right? So there's the indistinct, then he is the distinct, because we saw there he's the halo of the reflected as feature of the qualities, right? So the halo is indistinct, like Brahman is indistinct. So that's why you see also that the Shaivites and the Mayavadis and that connect Shiva with the Brahman, because he is a feature like that. He is, as you can see, is the general Brahman, is the effulgence of all the aspects of Krishna. But if you're taking just that portion of Sangarsana and just the halo of that and those qualities, then that portion, that is simply the Sadashiva portion. Right? And if you take the maintenance aspect, that'll be the Vishnu. And if you take the creation, that'll be Hiranyagarbha. All combined together, that's just the general Brahman. Does that make sense? So that's why even in Brahman, you have these various features. That's why there's variety in Brahman, right? Because you have all the qualities that are there, and their manifestation. Then is it's you can't manifest something that there's not the potential for. Like you can't make you can't, let's say, make a wearable dress out of clay, because it doesn't have that nature. But you can make a pot, right? And out of fabric, you can't make a pot, right? You can make, some kind of outfit, right? So it has the nature, and you can do something with that. What's there, it has the potential. So whatever is there, the potential in the clay is what you find in the pot. So the pot's non-different from the clay. And the reason that pot can manifest, because that principle is already there within the clay. So in other words, by the already established point, You can't do something with something that it doesn't have the nature to do, right? The horse is not going to fly, right? Because it doesn't have that principle, but the bird does. So the bird can fly, but it can't, carry on its back and run down the road like that, unless it's an ostrich, but then they can't fly either. So whatever, So you have Mahavishnu, and then through his glance, you have the indistinct form of Shambhu. And then within the universe, the Lord expands as Garbhodakshini Shri of the universe, right? So again, manifest. Does that make sense? In the Lagu Bhagavatamrita 1.2.27, we learn that sometimes the jiva takes the role of Shiva. Sometimes Shiva is born from Lord Brahma's forehead, sometimes from Vishnu's forehead, and sometimes expanded from Sankarsana for the purpose of devastation. In this context, however, the discussion is about Sadashiv, also known as Adi Shiva, who is Vishnu Tattva. The Acharyas explained that Mahavishnu becomes covered with effulgence at the time of placing the jivas in Prakriti, and thus his form becomes indistinct at that time. This is called Linga, right? Like that. So that aspect of Linga are indistinct, because that's why we say the Linga Sharir of the living entity means that aspect of that covering of I'm the controller and enjoyer, which is based on false ego. Right, because that's the feature of the ego, right? And so, in the mundane context, it's false. So that's why it has that point of being called linga, right? So the linga sharir. So that's coming from that position, right? That in the universe you have your subtle body, mind, intelligence, false ego, and then the gross body of earth, water, fire, air, ether. But the point is, when the jivas are injected into the material energy through the glance of Vishnu, then they're coming with that aspect of ignorance that I'm the controller and enjoyer. That's the linga sharira. So until that ignorance goes, then that's what then brings us to the point of entering the spiritual world. Otherwise, otherwise you can get rid of the gross form of the gross and subtle form of the living entities and attain the position of liberation. But the point is that since the linga sharir still remains, you can't enter the spiritual world, right? That's the point. It's there. Srila Jiva Goswami clarifies the position as follows. The first line replies to those with misconceptions. Right? This powerful Purusha who assumes an indistinct form is actually the Supreme Lord. Right? So that indistinct form means it's Vishnu covered by his effulgence. That effulgence, that's Sadashiva. It's still him. Just like Brahman is non-different from the Lord.
Marge, would it help if I read for you and then you'd have to
I think it's
speak
just a
less?
problem talking in general.
I know, but then at least you speak less.
Well,
Unless you need to finish a
if
bit early, because we've been almost an hour.
I think when we hit I don't know what's happening. Yeah, because sometimes it calms down and sometimes it doesn't. I guess we'll go to 5
Yeah,
and then stop.
I think so.
The first line replies to those with misconceptions, right? So if Shiva is there Vishnu is not involved. It says this powerful Purusha assumes an indistinct form is actually the Supreme Lord. It's the Lord, and it's Vishnu. That's why Sada Shiva is Vishnu Tattva. He's not Shiva Tattva, who transforms and comes into the material world. That aspect, Shambhu, that's Shiva Tattva. Right? And after that, the second line again makes a distinction between the distinctly manifest form of Mahavishnu and this indistinct form called Shambhu. Right? Again, we can see is why the Mayavadis and the person, those are interested in liberation, but not bhakti. They worship Shiva, because technically that form of the indistinct form, you know, or that aspect of Brahman is Shambhu. You know, that's where it comes from. So it's not that it doesn't have a basis, it's just incomplete. They think it's complete, that we're done, but it's not. It'd be like somebody understands some portion of something, but doesn't understand completely what it's for. Like someone can explain, yes, this pot is made out of this metal, and the bottom has a sandwich form of a few layers of things, and this and that, and this is the handle, and these are rivets like this. This is a lid, and it sits like this, but they have no idea what it's for, that it's for cooking. They can just explain the thing, what it's made out of, what's the diameter at the base. It's this wide, but at the top, it's this wide, you know, and it can hold this much, you know, the liquid and this and that. And so many, and there's in the lid, there's a little hole, so that the, you know, like that, for who knows what, maybe for, you know, how you say, a spacecraft to come in and land through the hole. I don't know, but you know, because they don't know, you know, and it has a nice thing you can turn the handle and the hole goes around, you know, so it means you have all kinds of different things. Therefore, he who produces the material realm and who is but an amsha of Mahavishnu is still called the powerful Purusha, the great Lord. Having assumed a subtle form, Shambhu then appeared with a distinct form, because he alone is distinct as the master of all exalted and degraded jivas of this universe. Digdarshani Tika 5:10. So he's mentioning here is that he also then comes master of all living entities of the universe, because Shiva is then in charge of all the living entities because of the false ego, right? Because they're all covered by some variety of this ego, right? You know, how you say Taijasa, Tamasa, and Vaikarika, I think. But he like that, that he's in charge of that. Just like those living entities that do leave the universe by their meditation, they can sit on the Brahman platform, but they're under his control. And as long as they're just sitting and meditating, then they sit there outside the universe. But as soon as they get a desire to act again, then Shiva puts them back in the universe. Right? So that's the whole point, is that he has both of these features, right? Is that okay? Is that good? Yeah, I think we'll stop for today, because it's not sure how well the reading goes, because I'm not sure what's going on. Okay, well, thank you, everybody. And we'll see you soon. Sorry. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktavinda ki, Jai Dainatai Gaura Premanandi, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.